Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer. Whew.
I feel the anointing in the house today. Good night. Carrie, what the heck? Oh, I love him. Man, that was so good. Carrie and I were in the same class in high school, and our freshman year, our class had some of the lowest test scores ever in Madison Grant. And our sophomore year, we had a school newspaper. It was called Cornstalk Talk. Is that silly? And there was an article in our newspaper. It was called Apathetic Sophomores. That was our class. That was the prophetic decree over our class. Maybe a couple of us have come out of that. We've made something of ourselves, despite what maybe crazy education would publish to say about their students, but we've done something, and heck of a job, and that was anointed. I wish that I couldn't play piano that well. Oh, it's good. Valley, you teed up the golf ball for me this morning, because we want to make Jesus king over our nation, right? And so I want to speak a message to us this morning entitled Freedom of Choice, and drill down on that idea of freedom of choice. I may stick a little more close to the text this morning because I don't want to freewheel. I want to be true to what I believe God has called me to. In some communications that I've had with my pastor, Ron Johnson, he has really drilled home this idea of we've got to elevate Christ to such a place of authority over our lives to where we come under absolute submission to who he is, to where we make Christ the preeminent one. And as Carrie's singing, there's one name, and that's the name that's sweeter than honey on our lips, right? It's the name that we must declare over our nation. And so I'm going to make two statements, and I hope these are two statements that Christians, the people of God, that the church of God would agree with. Number one, life is really good when Jesus is Lord. And number two, our lives are best when they are ruled by life-giving law, the law of God. If we can't agree with that, then we don't have any grounds to move forward with the sermon. Life is best when Jesus is Lord, and life brings so much blessing and prosperity to us whenever we live under the law of God. Can we agree with that? Amen. So with that in mind, we're going to move forward with our message. In Psalm 33, 12, it says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people that he has chosen for his inheritance." I think of an inheritance as something very valuable, something that you get on the end of someone else's life, the life of Jesus, as he has laid down his life. And God says, there's an inheritance for me that's incredibly valuable. It's my people that I want. And those people will live blessed when they live in a nation, when they declare me as king over their country. That's what this scripture is saying. America has lived under unbelievable amounts of blessing. We're the most prosperous nation in the world. And let's not be confused on why that has happened. Let's not be confused or disillusioned that maybe it just happened by accident, or we leaned strong enough on the mighty right hand of man that we have accumulated all of this wealth. It's absolutely asinine to start following down a thought pattern and to develop a worldview that man has done anything to bring blessing and prosperity upon his life, aside from the blessing of God. And disconnected from living under the canopy of the blessing and the law of God. Ron Johnson said this, we are seeing all of that, the blessing of God, we're seeing all of this under attack right now. We are not as strong, we're not as healthy, we're more divided than ever. The reason for that is because ideas have consequences. We are embracing a false ideology, turning our backs on God. Living in a blessed nation has set us up to have an immense amount of options. Options are good when they are chosen from the foundation of a chooser that delights itself in the Lord. Options can be a very good thing. It's wonderful whenever you can choose your career. You can choose your college. You can choose your car. You can choose your toothpaste. You can choose a lot of things. You can choose your spouse. You can choose where you're going to eat afterwards. You can make a lot of choices, and that is good. However, it's devastating when you pick and choose your faith. It absolutely is crippling to a country, to a home, to a marriage when options no longer require the dependency upon God, but I can freewheel outside of it and make my own choices, disconnected from law that God would say is right or wrong. It is one thing for the church to have this mentality. It's another thing for the world to have this mentality. I don't think that we expect the world to think with the biblical worldview. However, I believe that this ought to be the fire in the pulpit today, that the church must be grounded in the Word of God. And to not know our Bibles might be the most devastating thing yet. And to attend church for years and years and years and to not have concept on what God would speak law is would be a failure on the church's part, namely the pastor, and the discipleship model that they would put out, and then personal responsibility to know your Bible and to know the God that you're worshiping. So I'm coming a little bit heavy this morning. We're going to turn to some hope. I'm not going to leave you here, but I want us to go here to understand the seriousness and the depth on which we ought to be approaching the nature and the beauty and the wonders of God and how he wants to unload blessing on his people that will simply submit to his authority. By rejecting this God, we can see how the church could crumble. We can see how a nation can crumble, but we don't have the luxury to allow that to happen in the church. This is the church. This is the house of God. This is the bride of Christ. This is the one that he has put a ring on. And for us to be so disconnected from our groom, saying, I know that you said that, but thanks, no thanks, I got options, I'm going to go in a different direction, is rebellion, probably at its best, and its damnation at its worst, to give him a kiss and then live completely disconnected from his heart. The church has to find the supremacy of the glory of God and the lordship of Jesus Christ above all things. That's non-negotiable. I get it if the world doesn't. The church, we as Christians, we have to declare this. We cannot succumb to the modern seductions that try to hijack mentalities and slip away ideology. We've got to come to the point where we say, Jesus Christ, you sit on the throne of my brain. You reign and rule over my thoughts, and all ideas flow from the mind of God. Y'all with me? And when we can think with the mind of God, and we got the supremacy and the lordship of Jesus Christ firmly planted his throne upon the minds of Christian people, we want to think and move and operate like God would move and operate. Inside the hearts of Christians, there lies in this idea that Paul Tripp, he calls functional atheism. It's where we love God, but we don't really live according to His commandments. We're functioning atheists. We walk into the church and we sing songs, but how we live life outside of there, we would think that God doesn't exist. An atheist is one that would reject the existence of God. And so we function, we think that we're Christians, but we function as if God is not reigning and ruling in our lives. He's not reigning and ruling over this conversation in our kitchen. He's not reigning and ruling how I treat others, my boss, the work ethic I bring every day. He's not reigning and ruling on how I want to be engaged in my community, how I vote, how I want to be ones that is being voted for because I want to engage and bring the lordship of Jesus Christ to my community. We function as atheists. God's not a part of today. This is a dangerous place to come. We don't fully trust that God's law will bring the best life. We all agreed at the beginning that a life submitted to Jesus Christ is the best life, but we necessarily don't always live that each day. We all would agree that the law of God is going to reign and rule over us and we'll live underneath the canopy of His blessing, but do we always operate like that today? When it comes to practically living out our lives, we live as if God isn't always necessary, like He doesn't really exist, because we're blessed, we're prosperous, we don't need Him. I don't need Him to make this decision. I'm smart. I can make this decision. I don't need Him. I got a 401k. I've got a Roth IRA. I don't need Him. I'm good. I don't need His wisdom and insight. I'm pretty smart. I've read some books. And when we live a life disconnected from complete desperation on the very giver of that life, we're functioning as atheists. I want to encourage and provoke the church to increase the desperation on the preeminent one. That we would lean strong and heavy on this man. That we would ramp up our faith to such a place that if God doesn't show up, this whole thing's going to crumble. I'm taking a leap of faith and doing a missional work. I'm taking a leap of faith and I'm going to sacrificially give maybe more than even I can handle. It's going to stretch me. It's not inside my own power. It could actually bring me down. Only God could make this thing happen. And when we live in a safe faith, it's all on you. You've got it figured out. You don't really need Him. And I'm saying, come on, baby. There's a higher faith. There's a higher place for us to live, to go deeper, to where we cannot do this thing without Him. Where we get desperate for Him. And maybe we're not desperate because we don't really live these lifestyles of radical obedience that require crazy faith. It's more nice and it's cute and it's put together. We feel good about ourselves. We feel good about our church attendance. We feel good about our Christianity. We're nice. We attend that church. I'll even serve at the event. I'll even make a pot of chili. And we feel good and we negotiate the higher convictions of God because we're comfortable with where we currently find our relationship with Him. The irony of all of this, the fact that we have so many options, or we can even choose how much we want to be engaged, is because we're so blessed by God. We have so much blessing from God. The irony is that now we can choose to live without Him. We don't pray for healing. We go to the doctor. We don't need financial breakthrough because we have our financial planners. We have a lot of things already figured out because we're Americans. We're slick. We're sharp. We're pretty smart. Hear me out on this. I believe that blessings are awesome. I don't want to live not with blessings. I want to live with the favor of God on my life as long as they don't create an independence from the one who gave them. In America today, we have pro-choice. In pro-choice, if you're running for an office, you want to let people know that you will give them freedom that is unlimited. Freedom to do whatever it is that you want to do. You'll have freedom to choose, to make all your choices. And we'll help you provide you free stuff and free from consequences from those choices that you make. You're free to make these choices consequences will come, and then we'll free you from the consequences as well. In prosperity, we have more access to extreme choices. We have extreme choices out there that most nations don't even have access to. I'm in so much prosperity that you really can't tell me that I can't have something. I'm going to choose it anyway. I want that. I will do it. I'll shift law in order to get what I want. Why? Because it's America. I'm free. I'm totally free to do whatever it is that I want. We became pro-choice. Pro-choice was we're free to kill babies that are in the womb all the way up to 9 months of their pregnancy. Why? Because I'm going to choose life or death. We make an idol out of choice. And I want us to be super careful on how much we love American freedom, that it goes rogue underneath the submission and obedience to Jesus Christ. Freedom is awesome. But the Apostle Paul would say this: God has freed me from sin so that I would become a slave to righteousness. He said, trust me, I know exactly who my master is. It's not freedom unto freedom. It's he set me free of guilt and shame and bondage to sin and a broken mind that hurts and damages. And he's made me a slave to righteousness, that I would work hard for God, my Savior, the preeminent one of my life. We can make idols out of the freedom to choose. Choice gets propped up as something that I enjoy more than I enjoy submitting to God. And anytime we enjoy something more than we enjoy God, it has become idolatry. It's the new idol. I love freedom. I want to choose everything that I want, and I want to be completely freed of the consequences of my actions. That has become an idolatry. All of this has been on the back of prosperity of God. We're so prosperous. Our medicine has become so slick that we can do these things. As you connect the dots through history, and we see how God's law connects the dots to blessing, and we're blessed, and we're blessed, and we're blessed. And somehow, as this line, this binary line of connected dots, it just makes sense. It's line upon line. This thing makes sense. We jump outside of it and try to pull in ideas that are disconnected from the heart of God and think that we're going to continue to live under the canopy of blessing. Does anybody see wisdom in that? I would say, God, what is your idea? What is your mind? Because I want to keep living my life exactly the way that you would have it. Because that is the way that your favor and your blessing and your smile and your protection exists upon a people, upon a nation. Because blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. He has saved them. Actually, God had a choice, and he said God chose them as his inheritance. It would be foolish to say that we can live separated from the law of God and assume the blessing of God. The seduction of choice is that we can choose to move outside of absolute authority to where we celebrate personal preference. And the celebration of personal preference is to thumb our nose at absolute authority, because what I really like is very much different from what God really likes. There are certain things that God would say, I hate, and they're an abomination, and we would say, but we kind of like it, and so we'll go that route. Do not expect the blessing of God to continue to rain down on your life, your home, or our nation if that's the way we continue to function, functional atheists. How we get to functional atheism today, I believe, is because this word that's out there is because we're so woke. Woke simply means that we've woken up. We've awakened to what's going on in our culture today. And when Christians have become so woke that we're very familiar with what's going on and we're more in tune with modern ideologies than we are to the ancient ways of God, or when we have pastors and pulpits that are so woke that they can't lead their churches under the law of God, and saying we have to have messages that sometimes they're convicting, and we've got to call sin sin, and we've got to repent, and we've got to say, Jesus, you're the only way. There's not many ways. There's one way. Jesus said, I'm the way. I am the truth. I am the life, and I want to bring you fully alive in me. I have come that you would have life to the full, an abundant life in me. And that way is through hitting our knees in repentance and saying, Jesus, you are the preeminent one of my life. It's not about personal preference. It's about Christ's preference over my life, and I must know him. I must know his heart so that I would get in line with the way that he thinks. I don't know why we would ever think that we're more woke than God on what we need to be doing in our day. Let's take our sexual lives, for example. We can pick and choose. We have a pick and choose culture in America. We have so many amazing choices because of our blessing. We can pick and choose. I can pick if I want to be a man. I can choose if I want to be a woman. I can pick if I want to be with a man. I can choose if I want to be with a woman. I can choose if I want to be with a child. We can make these choices. You can choose if you want to be with an animal. It goes to these extremes of what in the world, where did our minds get so seduced into thinking outside of the law of God? And with this wisdom that we think we have, we come up with all kinds of problems here. We'll say that we love God, but we just won't submit to his wisdom. In his book, The Consequence of Ideas, R.C. Sproul, he says this. He says that you have the idea of, or he kind of lays out this, you have an idea maybe that you're going to go off on your boss. The consequence is you get fired. And if y'all know, there's consequences that come with your ideas. You have an idea that you're going to drive your car off of a cliff. You choose that route. The consequence is you die. The freedom of choice only works if the ideas that you're choosing from are God's ideas. Let me say that again. The freedom of choice only works if the choices you're making are God's ideas. Sproul, he shows how the idea of choice, it really comes out of secularism. Even going back to the 60s and 70s, the popular word in the 60s and 70s was existentialism. Existentialism is life has no meaning. I kind of got here by accident. I don't have a purpose. There is no higher authority. So the only meaning that I'm ever going to get out of this life is if I choose some meaning. I just got to choose a path, and I just got to start going that way. It's all up to my choices. All of my life is my responsibility, and so I've just got to take the bull by the horns on this one, because there's no meaning outside of anything else. There is no God to tell me whether my choices are right or wrong. There's no God setting the bar of standard of what righteousness is, that there would ever be a righteous law that we ought to live according to. So when this is the day and age in which we live, we tell people, well, just be authentic. Just be you. Follow your heart. Just let your heart lead the way. You do what you like. What is it that you love? Hey, you go be you. Problem with that idea is Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 would say that the heart is only evil all of the time. So you following your heart is only evil all of the time. Hey, just be you. Well, I am evil. Well, just be that then. Do what you love. Well, what do I love? My heart is bent toward evil all of the time. When we allow and we kick open the doors of America to say, just be you, do whatever it is that you want, because you have the freedom to choose, you have kicked open the gates of hell and invited the enemy to throw a party in your nation. Because there is no law. And we have complete freedom to do what wicked hearts want to do. It sounds nice. It sounds freeing. It even kind of sounds romantic. Just follow your heart. Let your heart lead the way. The bad thing about this is that we have cast off restraint from the mind of God. Can you imagine, just for a moment, taking that same ideology into your home, and you don't have authority, you as the parents, over your kids. And somebody would walk into your home and say, hey, kids, Just do whatever you want. Let your heart lead the way. What is it that you want to do today? There's no rules. There's no authority that's defining how this home is going to be led. Any parents want to sign up for that house? Are you kidding me? You would think, who would be the fool that would say, let me lead that thing? No way. No way. Submission is what we're getting after here this morning. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 7 and 9, he says, I am free, but my freedom has drawn me in to be a slave for the purposes of God. So I've been set free from all the guilt and the shame, but it's driving me to a purpose, to be a minister of Jesus Christ. And we as the church, we're called to live free, and yet we're called to lay our lives down and sacrifice to a king who did the same thing for us. There's still a law. There's still a law of God that we must adhere to. And we don't lift our freedom of choice higher than the law of God. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16, he says it this way. This is what the Lord God says. Stand at the crossroads. Anybody else think that we're at a crossroad? Just me? Come on, church. We're at a crossroad. And he says, you better open your eyes and look. Ask for the ancient ways. He doesn't say ask to be woke. Are you kidding me? He says, look back at the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is. Or can I just say, God, how do we go back to your ways where it was good and favored and blessed? Walk in that. You'll find rest for your soul. At a time of unrest, do we need those ancient ways to bring some rest for our soul. Whenever I proposed to Alyssa, I asked for her parents' hand in marriage. And I asked permission. And Tim, her father-in-law, said, the only way I'm going to give you my daughter is if you give me a dowry. I want a cow, is what he said. So what I did is I got really, really creative. And I went to Build-A-Bear. And in Build-A-Bear, they have the option of a cow, a bear, a dog, a cat. And I wanted to build a bear. And anybody ever been to Build-A-Bear? Go in there, and you go in, there's this machine, and it spins all of this fun fluff. And they hand this fluff to you, and you shove it inside of a bear or a cow, and then you get to dress it up however you want. So I dress it up in a wedding tuxedo, this cow. And you get to pick out the shoes. If you want to wear a hat, you can put some bling bling on that guy, whatever you want to do. And I bring this Build-A-Cow to Tim Johns, and I kneel before him, and I offer him, here's your dowry of a cow. Can I have your daughter's hand in marriage? And we shook on it, and we had a deal, and it was the best cow ever made. How many of y'all know that we can also live in a Build-A-Bear Christianity where I get to make it up however I want? And I'll come in, I'll take a little bit of this, I'll make a little bit of that. My friend Andrew Ming, he's from Taiwan, but he lives in America, and he loves Chinese buffets. And he says, it's like a Chinese buffet. Yeah, I'll take a little bit. He's like, definitely taking that egg roll. He's like, never take pizza at a Chinese restaurant. I don't know what that pizza thing is. You never take the pizza. Yeah, I'll take some of these veggies. Yeah, General Tso, I'll take, you know, orange chicken. Nope, don't want this. And whenever you set up a faith completely dependent upon your choice of what it is, whatever you want it to be, it's become something other than Christianity. That's not Christianity. Christianity is submitting your life to Jesus Christ completely. It's not like, yeah, I like him on Sunday mornings at 10:30. Can you wrap it up by 11:30? And then I'll go live my life. That's not a Christian faith. That's personal preference. And when we set Christianity up as you get to pick and choose off the buffet, you can just write Ichabod on the doors of that church. It's over. Or on the doors of that nation. So we've got to say, it ain't about picking off the menu. It's about listening to what God has said and reading the law of God and saying, I'm going to follow it wholeheartedly. The parallels are easy as we would obey God in the whole thing. We've got to take complete and total obedience over whatever it is that he has called us to. I'll tell you, I love a buffet. There's beauty in a buffet. And it's cool to have choices when you're choosing lunch, not when you're choosing the Lord. Choices are cool. We're blessed with a lot of choices. But whenever it comes to who's going to reign and rule over our nation, it's got to be God is our Lord. And so here's the deal. We as the church, we can't fail to tell people that the essence of Christianity, and I'm talking the core of Christianity, is absolute submission to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. If you haven't heard that this morning, you are not listening. That is the core of what it means to be a Christian. It means to submit. There is a mission that God has. And to sub, it means to come under. There's a mission and there's a sub. And I'm going to sub underneath the mission of God for my life, for our church, for the call that we have in our community, loud and clear, unapologetically. That's what it means to be a Christian. This goes all the way back to even the Garden of Eden. As we look at Adam and Eve, they've got trees. They've got plenty of trees. They've got an enormous amount of trees. You've got choices. You can have any one of the trees. There's one choice that you can't. You can't pick this tree. What is it that we want to do? We want to kick the doors wide open, man. Let me explore that. You can't tell me I can't pick that tree. You're not the Lord. I'll tell you what I'm going to pick. And we're going to just peek, and not just peek into all sorts of tabooism, but full throttle go into where we make it law that that's the way it's going to be. Even what's so crazy right now, y'all see in California and what's happening with legislation to where a priority, California literally is burning to the ground, and a priority of legislation right now is to lower the age of minors for sexual consent so that adults can have sex with people at younger and younger ages. That's what's going on in law today. That's what's happening when we say, no thanks, God, we're pretty smart, we got this one figured out. People, we've got to get our mind with the mind of God and to say, God, we want to submit all things to you. All of our personal preferences have to submit to Jesus Christ. I coach basketball. Can you imagine basketball without rules? I can't imagine. It's called fourth grade basketball. Somebody just grab the ball and just take off running, right? Just run around. And then whoever's the biggest kid will just push you over, then he'll take the ball. And then whoever's the biggest is just kind of running the game. Whoever's the biggest bully runs the game. And then nobody wants to play. We don't want to play in that game. And I'll tell you, the game that we will play is when there's clear, defined law that's going to bring blessing to the game that we're playing. So I'll close with this. Joshua 24:15. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day who you're going to serve. Whether it's the gods of your ancestors who served beyond the Euphrates, the gods of the Amorites. He's like, if it's the gods of the past, if it's the gods from this group, it's the gods of that group, wherever it's at, in whose land you are living. But as for me and as for my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And can I tell you, the word Lord, the definition of Lord means sovereign owner. The sovereign owner is going to be the Lord of my household, of our church, over our town, over our nation. It's the sovereign Lord. And so I hope that you would stand with me as we are going to close our service and say, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we want to prophesy that over every home that's here. Would you, if you're in agreement with this, stand with me as we close in prayer this morning. God, we declare we can't do this without you. We are not smart enough to do this apart from the Lordship of Jesus Christ. God, we need the preeminent one to sit on the throne of America, on the throne of Fairmount, Summitville, Jonesboro, Marion, Grant, and Madison County. God, we need you to reign and rule. Father, we repent of our sin where we have lived life so disconnected from you. God, we ask for the mind of God and the heart of Christ, that we would live and love and have our being underneath the canopy of the blessing of Jesus Christ. And anything outside of that is complete foolishness. And God, we repent of our foolishness and of our sin in our heart to try to do this thing apart from God. God, we ask you that you would turn your face toward our country again, that you would smile upon our nation. God, that you would extend your hand of grace and favor and mercy and love upon America. God, we need you in our country. God, I'm crying out. We need you, Lord. God, hold your judgment. God, we need your favor. We need you, Lord. God, I want you in my home. God, I want you in my town. God, I want you in our law. God, I want you in our courts. God, I want you in the White House. God, I want you in the State House. God, we need you. And we're calling upon the preeminent one to sit on the throne again. In Jesus' name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.